Welcome to the Destined for Success podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Takagi, and this podcast used to be called New Manager Media, Manage Right from the Start. Many of the concepts are the same, but there's a little shift. There's a shift because I know we are all destined for success, and I want to help you find the fastest, smoothest way to reach your highest best as quickly as possible. Join me in today's episode where you're going to come up with new ways to build your skills and influence others to make the impact you desire to make. I look forward to connecting with you soon. Welcome to Destined for Success. I'm your host, Jennifer Takagi, and I'm so happy to have Anthony Spark with me today. Welcome to the show, Anthony.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me, Jen.
Anthony has been an entrepreneur in the network marketing space for almost 2 decades. Doesn't look quite old enough for that. Has a multi-million dollar company that has allowed him and his wife to have more flexibility and choices than most traditional career paths, which the number one reason people become entrepreneurs is freedom.
Right.
And whatever freedom means to you. So let's get into it. So our talk title today is how to create financial success without losing what matters. And I'm just going to say we've had the last 20 minutes getting to know each other and talking about like how we make life what we want it to be. So how did you become so passionate about the financial success piece so that you can have freedom?
Yeah, well, I'll give you a little of my bio. I think that kind of dovetails into it. So I am 37. So I started this right before my 18th birthday. So that's where the 2 decades come. I've been doing this for more than half my life. But I grew up with a really dysfunctional family. My mom was a single mom. She was a hospice nurse. She did the best she could. But my dad just had a lot of problems, ended up going to prison, got addicted to drugs, was a womanizer. So I started working young. I was working at 12. And I was working a 40-hour full-time work week in ninth grade at 15. And I'd ride my bike each way, and my mom would drive me. And no one had any money, so I worked. And I went to Europe twice, and I bought my own car and helped my mom pay the bills. And I grew up in a much more similar time frame than you did versus people that are even 5 years my junior, because I'm like the last generation that didn't have social media and no gurus, no gig economy, no cryptocurrency. So they told me you either go to college or you're going to be a hobo. So I figured I'm not good at fistfights under drawbridges, so I better go to college. You know, and I figured I'd go to med school, and I didn't want to be a doctor. Like, I find some people, they have a vocation that they want, and that's their dream. I wanted to make a lot of money because I didn't want to be poor anymore, because I knew that that sucked, and I knew I wanted to do something that helped people. So I figured the best way I could figure to do it, I'm good at school. You know, I was pretty rambunctious. You know, I'd study and I'd get 5s on my AP exams and 100s on my Regents, but I'd smoke a half ounce of pot a week with the guys that were going to parties, and it was pretty crazy. But I was working 60 hours a week and I was getting good grades, and my mom's like, all right, you know, you know, be careful. But anyway, I was going to go to UAlbany, but when I was 17, a friend of mine worked at a ski place. It was like his bullshit high school job. They'd like smoke pot in the basement, sell skis kind of thing. But he told me he met a guy there that said he was going to retire at 28. Now, I'd never heard of financial freedom. I never knew what financial independence was. I thought you either were born rich or you worked your whole life. No one at the guidance counselor gave me the option to retire in my 20s. And I remember thinking to myself, like, I would do anything to be able to be with my future family and to own my life, because I never dreamed of labor. Like, I didn't have a dream to be a doctor. I wanted the rewards that I would get from being a doctor. So I said to my friend, I'd do anything for that. I need to meet this guy. And he said the thing that almost everyone says about every business opportunity. Oh man, what if it's a pyramid? What if it's a scam? What if it doesn't work? What if you don't make it? And I said, maybe it isn't legitimate.
What if it does?
What if it is? I think people have their risk mitigation off. It might not be real, but I think the biggest risk is assuming it isn't real and then it could have been the best opportunity in my life. And I said to my buddy Matt, I said, I don't know if you remember, like, I'm not proud of it, but my family are criminals. So honestly, I'm going to suss the guy out if it's not legit. But I got to know Tony and his family, and they had built a multi-million dollar business in the network marketing space. And the money was great, but for me, it was that freedom of time. He was able to drive his son to school, and they were able to choose what they did and who they worked with. And for me, freedom has always been much more important than trophies. I mean, when you don't go on the expensive dinners and you haven't eaten the $200-$300 steaks and you haven't been on the boats and the beautiful places, you think that that's the pinnacle of life. But for me, a cup of coffee in the morning with my kids and being able to be present is always more valuable than what these peak expensive experiences are. Once you've done them a bunch, you know, they're nice, but they're not what life's about. So that's what I saw. And he had both. So I had to earn his time and trust. Ultimately, they started to teach me this, which was amazing. So I was just 18. You know, I really had to work hard to earn their trust, but they taught me to build companies in the network marketing space. I was able to leave my full-time job at 25, you know, and I started building my business full-time. I got fired. My wife got promoted. We figured I'd focus on business. She would kind of hold down the health benefits and keep working. She was much better at the bureaucracy and the corporate ladder than I was. By the time she was 29, right around 30, which was December of 2019, she was able to leave her full-time job. And we got four kids. So I had a lot of mentorship. I had a lot of guidance. I had a lot of people teach me. And I think that without having someone to teach you, a coach or a mentor or a guide or a top performer in an industry, it's not that you can't make it, but it certainly makes it a lot tougher for sure.
Well, so and I love it. You were going to go to college so that you could, you know, not be a thug under the bridge. And,
right.
You know, how does it go living down by the river in a van?
Right. Right. Chris Foley, I actually have a shirt of him. I was wearing it last night. It's so funny you said that from that skit. Matt Foley, yeah. Motivational speaker.
Yeah, that was way before you were born, but yes.
I love Chris Farley.
It's been around a while. But I went to college because I knew I would work full-time the rest of my life, and I wanted to put it off as long as possible. I went to school, and I worked while I was in school, and one of my professors said, you could make better grades if you would just apply yourself a little bit. And I went, oh, wow, I carry a full load. I work 20 to 30 hours a week at the library. I have a boyfriend and I party like a rock star on weekends. Right. I don't have time to make better grades than A's and B's. Like,
right.
I'll
it's good
take
enough.
That B. I'll take a B.
Good enough. I'm with
My
you.
My degree in French has served me well. I'm just saying.
I love it. I love it.
But again, we have our reasons. And I keep hearing people say now, oh, you don't need a college degree. You don't. You've never needed a college degree unless you go into a profession that requires it. It's the other things you learn. And if you don't have the coaches and mentors to get you on a path sooner and faster, it's a better choice than living in a van down by the river.
Totally. I hear a lot of entrepreneurs denigrating college, and they'll usually think, like, when people start talking to me, that I'm going to be anti-college. To pretend like the humanities and these things that are read at every funeral and every birth and poetry and The Prophet by Khalil Gibran, I mean, of course it's valuable. It's just important that you understand not everything in life is going to have an ROI financially, but that doesn't mean that it's not valuable. You know, so I like to clarify, I didn't go to college because I live in New York, and even though we had no money, I never qualified for financial aid. I was going to have to pay for it. I found a path that didn't require a college degree. I was working full time. I was the father figure for my brother, who was 9 years old at the time. And I knew for myself, I'm ambitious and I'm hardworking, but if I put myself in a college environment and a sorority girl asks me to go to a party or any of my friends ask me to do any substance, the answer is yes. So I figured, let me keep myself out of that environment. You know, I'm on a path that I'll try it. My friends are going to take at least 5 years to graduate. So if I take a year, I'll catch up quick. But I have read a give or take a book a week for most of my adult life. And I don't ever denigrate any type of education, whether it be formal or informal. It's a matter of what direction you're going and understanding what you need to get there. But anyway, I'm saving for funds for all my kids if they want to be able to have the opportunity to go to college and not worry about the finances, if that's valuable for them. I don't think college is bad.
Well, and again, my whole goal was to put off working full time as long as possible. I mean, we all have our reasons, but that was my top number one goal. And back when I went to school, it was not ridiculously expensive.
Sure.
And so it was more of an attainable type goal. Yes. But we learn lessons everywhere we go. So you got into network marketing. Are you still in the same type businesses? What is network marketing? Because some people who listen may not know what network marketing is. And how that all comes together and comes to play so that
Yeah.
you have, oh, what? Financial freedom.
Yeah, well, network marketing is very scandalous. Most
Oh.
people that hear about network marketing, they have a friend or a family member that hated it, that lost relationships, that it didn't work for. So that's a good question. So all network marketing is, it's a company that rather than going through in a traditional distribution chain, they pay people to talk about their products. Now, the challenge you run into is network marketing or direct sales is the overarching industry. It's grown, depending on the metrics you read, significantly since 2000, hundreds of billions, depending on what statistic you look at. And they do 200, 260 billion. It depends on the statistic that you read per year annually. So people say network marketing doesn't work. That doesn't make logical sense. I mean, every movie ticket in every movie theater in the world is like 60 billion. So no one's saying that movies don't work. It
They
depends.
did for a
Well,
while.
they did. Sony got hosed with K-pop. I don't know if you know that whole deal, but they sold for 20 million to Netflix. K-pop's like the biggest movie ever because they did like a direct-to-streaming platform. They've made billions from that from Netflix. But anyway, regardless of all that, network marketing is a viable business. Now, the challenge is, if you Google network marketing, you'll find positive if you look for it, but you'll see it's a scam, it's a pyramid, it's terrible, it doesn't work. And it's true that 99% of people in network marketing don't make a lot of money, but that really, from my experience, comes based on two things. First is the effort that's put in because it's a business and it takes a lot of time, takes a lot of learning, takes a lot of effort. And most people, we all know how to be in great physical shape, but we just might not be willing to do the work. And that doesn't make anyone right or wrong. I mean, I was eating a bunch of Snickers last night. I mean, I got my first workout in this morning because my trainer told me he was going to come to my house yesterday. But anyway, it's not knowing what to do. It's desiring to be willing to do the work consistently long enough. And then the big second one is who's coaching you and what's the systems that you're using. In network marketing, like some industries, I find it's been calcified. The strategy has been kind of stuck in the 1980s, and they have these hype up, sign up type businesses. People make money from signing people up, which changes the incentive from helping people succeed to just signing them up for something that might not be best for them. They don't consider the second order consequences of you just calling everyone you know and monetizing relationships. And I believe that relationships are much more important than money. So it really comes down to how you approach it and the way that you do it, your ethics, your business model, the way that you look at people not being just money, because it's very easy. And a lot of people in the industry, they're good people, but they kind of get stuck in that. So anyway, network marketing, you talk about a product you like, you sell a product. I believe now in 2025, it's scandalous to say, but I don't believe that the competitive advantage is in a product. I believe that the competitive advantage is in the coaching and the mentorship that can be offered, that people are spending tens of thousands of dollars per year to go to seminars and trainings and coaching and certificates. And in a network marketing model, when done properly, if you have a robust training system and you have real coaching and one-on-one mentorship and financial literacy and healthy relationships and all the different areas that you can go, I believe that to be the biggest benefit that you get. And the way I like to describe it is people are familiar with the NFT thing. So NFT is the most successful NFT. Now they've all obviously crashed, but in 2020, an NFT, a non-fungible token, was on the blockchain. The most popular one was these Bored Apes. And they were going for $50,000, $100,000, $200,000. And a lot of people didn't understand what the value was because it's like, why am I buying a picture on my computer? It didn't make any sense. But the thing that gave the value to the Bored Apes was that you got invited to a private WhatsApp group with Snoop Dogg and celebrities and high net worth people. So the people that were outside, they were looking at the tangible product and it lacking in value, which I agree with. But what they missed was the intangible value of getting access to a network and a club that you'd be able to network and talk to people and get access to people you couldn't. And I believe network marketing, that's the real competitive advantage of it when it's done properly.
I love that, and I love when you said that sometimes the ROI, return on investment, for somebody who may not have heard that term before, it's not always financial. And
Right.
I've hired a lot of coaches, some better than others, purchase programs, some better than others. But I have a book around here somewhere, in a journal type book, where I listed every coach I had hired. And what I got out of them, because for the most part, it wasn't a financial return, but it was the connections, it was the people, it was putting me on the next path. One coach had a staff of coaches, and one of those coaches, I was a little naive. She was a speaking coach, and it was like help get speaking gigs or whatever was kind of the premise. And so we had a couple of calls, which was part of my program. And I got the nicest email, Anthony, and it said, "Hey, Jennifer, I'm speaking on a summit. I would love it if you could come and support me." I didn't know there was an email list, and I was one of many. And that was in 2020, actually. And I ran into her online in another thing, and I told that story. And I could see her on the Zoom screen cracking up because she sent it to her whole list. I didn't know that was a thing, right? I was a little baby in
I
this
get it.
arena. And so I attended. It was a 3-day summit, big time commitment, but it was free. And so I went because I had nothing better to do. I was an entrepreneur, but I didn't know what to do next. Like I was floundering around. And a woman came on, her name was Deanne Riendu, and she told her story. She said everybody had a 25-minute spot. She told her story, and at the end she said, "And I'm offering to the first 10 people that sign up a free Akashic Records reading." And I had heard of Akashic Records. They're the messages of your soul, but I didn't really know anything about them. I'd had a reading before, but I just didn't even understand what was going on. And so I was like, "I want that." And I signed up. I probably was the first one to enter my name. And we had this lovely conversation. It was so gentle, so wonderful. And then she said, this was in the fall. She said, "In the spring, I'm doing a training on learning how to read Akashic Records. Would you like to sign up?" And I went, "Yes, please." That one event, that one thing from that coach that I paid a lot of money for, that had other coaches sent me to this summit, changed the trajectory of my life. And now I'm an energy healer and I do spectacular things and I love it
Love
so
that.
much. I do leadership also, but like this whole energy world, and there's so much more out there. But it was because I was looking for an ROI that would be outside the financial. So you get in these rooms and you do meet different people and it does change your life. I'm often asked, because I travel quite a bit and I go to conferences like anytime I can, and people are like, "Why do you do that?" And it was like, have you ever been in a room full of people who are somewhat like-minded? Not all, right? But some, like, we're in the room to see that speaker because we're all drawn to it, and how much power that has over you. So, yeah, that whole ROI, and I want to be in the club. There's something called the secret knock or something. And I met a guy who's in the secret knock, and he goes, "Oh,
Oh,
if you're
cool.
ever here, holler at me. And if there's a meeting, I'll have you come." And I was like, "Well, that sounds amazing. Like, I don't even know what that is, but let's go."
I love it. I love it. But yeah, you don't know where things are going to go. You know what I mean? And I find that a lot of people, they, first off, on the soliciting thing, it's amazing how you don't know where things can go and a general message can go somewhere. I do my best to make sure, because I feel like sometimes in network marketing, I can speak, just because something's effective doesn't mean it's ethical. And I think it's really important that we don't do things that work. We do things that are right primarily. And in network marketing, there's a lot of stuff online about people doing, in a much more personal way than just an email list with your name, pretending like, oh, like this is a special thing just for you. And they're love bombing and they're making something exclusive that's not first 10 people, but it's everybody. So for me, I think it's really important that we say what we mean. We do what we say. Just because something's effective, we should be careful, because you can gain the world and lose your soul. You know what I mean? So, but anyway, it's amazing that regardless of the practice, we don't know. where things are going to go and who we're going to meet. I met an amazing guy that's becoming a great friend, Tom Lenoble, through this whole podcast thing. And, you know, there's a course I'm going to take. And, you know, I just got his book recently that just came out. You know, really, really tremendous guy. But you don't know where things are going to go. And in the network marketing space, if you have the right people and you have the right direction, it takes time, it takes work. But the amount of benefits that you can gain in your personal life, as well as your financial literacy, and as well as if you commit to it, building a substantial business like my wife and I have, it can be really rewarding if done properly.
And it's so much fun to get to make the choice. My friend and I, pardon me, we did a group coaching program together, and towards the end, we were trying to decide if we were going to continue or if we were going to end it. And so I reached out to everybody in the group and did a little one-on-one, almost testimonial type, but it was like, you know, what did you like? What would you have liked to have seen different? And after those calls, on the very last call, which we did in the program, on the very last call, two of the ladies said, if being an entrepreneur and having financial freedom means you have to travel all the time like the two of you do, I don't want it. And I was just like, that's what you took away from this. Because guess what? You don't have to. If you never want to leave your house and you want to staycation every weekend, every day, perfect. Right. But it gives you the financial freedom to have the house and the yard that you want so that you can do that. Yeah. And that's where it all comes down, is having the freedom to do what feels good for you.
That's it.
And we talked before we started. I do travel quite a bit, and my husband, he doesn't want to.
Yeah.
He's invited everywhere I go, unless it's a girls trip. Right. But he's invited, and he's like, yeah, I don't really want to go. Okay, great. You don't have to go.
That's it.
But we have the freedom and opportunity to make those choices and those decisions. And I told him recently, one day I'm going to wake up, and I'm going to say, I don't really want to deal with the airport. Mm-hmm. I don't want to deal with the other people.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just stay home. And, and that will be that. And then I'll just travel occasionally instead of pretty consistently. But it gives you the freedom. It gives you the opportunity. Right. And I was having a conversation the other day, and somebody made a very sweeping announcement about one part of her life. And the next day I called her back and I said, wait, that's not true. You had bad things happen and screw up your plans four times, but let's go over all the times that didn't happen. Right. And so it becomes very easy to get sucked into the negative stories. It's like our brains want to go to the negative so that it can keep us safe, but that cuts off all of the all of the possibilities. And I even love that part of your talk title is like, without losing what matters.
Right.
So did you ever have a time when you had to struggle a little bit, like figuring out what matters and what path would be the best, the easiest, and not necessarily easiest as in a cakewalk, but easiest as in most aligned, I guess, is a better way
for
to
sure.
ask that.
So on one note, and then I'll go to that, I think it's really important when you know what you want and you're ambitious and you have these desires and these big goals, it can be very easy to denigrate other people that have a different vision for their life. And I think that the biggest thing is just being honest and authentic about what it is that you want, what it is that you want to do. And it doesn't mean it's better than anybody else. I don't think that just because you make more money, you're better than someone that makes less. I think that makes you an asshole if you think that. You know, it's just important that if you choose to be a school teacher, which I think is a tremendously noble profession, and I am so thankful for the amazing school teachers that teach my kids, you just need to understand that there's going to be a certain financial limitation with that. So you can't expect to live in a mansion and be going on trips to Europe every 3 months as a school teacher. But if you're okay with that, I don't think that path is any less valuable or less important. It's just a matter of weighing what we want and being honest about the pros and cons and not lying to ourselves. On the topic of not losing your life, I almost lost my marriage over my ambition and my business. And I'll kind of tell a little bit of that story. And that's why I think it's such an important topic. Most people I find, especially when they start entrepreneurship or they start a journey, is their question they ask is, what if I fail? And I think that as you go down the road and you've created a certain amount of success, you learn that that isn't the question to ask, because anything that you apply yourself long enough to that you truly want to have happen, eventually, time frames vary, but eventually you're going to get a semblance of the success you're looking for. It might not look the same. You might have the winding road or the spiral staircase that Trevor Blake talks about in Three Simple Steps, one of my favorite books. But ultimately, you get there. The real question that we need to ask is, if we succeed, does it create the life that we want? Because I've seen a lot of people build really beautiful prisons, and they build a lifestyle that they don't actually like, and they got everything they thought they wanted. But getting to the end of a journey and actually, quote unquote, succeeding, and finding that nothing at the end of that journey is going to fill the hole in your soul, is one of the most depressing situations that you see a lot of people that create a lot of external success end up with. So I believe that you can kind of cope and make do till about 25 or so. So I came from a really dysfunctional family. I didn't know what it was like to be successfully married. I had no examples of it. So we kind of held it together, me and Callum. We got together when we were 20. My wife's name's Callum. And we kind of were like working and entrepreneurs and working all the time. But at about 25 or so, all those patterns, all those coping mechanisms, the things start to break down. And there was a time where a relationship wasn't healthy. All of my first fruits, as some would say, all of my energy and my time and my emotion was going to my business first and building financial freedom. And the leftovers were going to my wife. And I wasn't giving her, I wasn't being there properly, our relationship. She had codependent tendencies. I'm hyper independent. So there came a point where I said, like, I'm not angry, but at this point we were so emotionally divided that it was like, I might not be faithful, and I'm not going to be my dad. So I don't think I can do this anymore. And I never was, but I said, this is not going to work. Thank God for my wife, because she said, I'm not leaving and I won't. And she refused, which was one of the most transformative relationship situations and relationship in my life. But one of the things that my counselor told me is, he said, you're cheating on your wife. And I said, I suck at a lot of stuff, but I am not cheating on my wife. That is one thing for sure that I am not doing. Everything
I'm
else
well
was.
aware.
I got an A in that category, Bill. And he said, no, he said, your business is your mistress. And you give all of your time and energy and everything there, and you leave your wife, and she's emotionally unsupported. And that was a real turning point. So there was a few times, but in the frenetic chase of success and financial independence and the fear of poverty that I came from and building this, I almost lost the thing in life that is the most valuable, which is my marriage, ultimately my four kids. And I'm not looking to lose my multimillion dollar business, and I'm not saying I'm looking to go back to being poor. But if you gave me the ultimatum that I can either have my marriage, I can have my mental health, I can have my kids, or I can have the money and the success and the small amount of micro fame that it gives, I'm choosing my family every day of the week. I'm choosing my marriage. And I had to renegotiate the way that I was building my life. Because just because you can do anything doesn't mean you can do everything. You're not going to be world's best dad and an Olympic athlete and the best husband and a CEO of a Fortune 500 company at the same time. There's just not enough to go around. So I had to reorganize my life, and I work for a finite amount of time. And then the majority of my time goes to my kids, and it goes to my wife, and it goes to my creating, and it goes to the things that matter most. And a lot of people in my industry, it's a performance-based industry. So it's, you got to do more, you got to do more, you got to do more, you got to be bigger, got to be bigger, got to do more. And a lot of people get stuck in this never-ending chasing of the horizon, chasing the wind, as some would say, and you can lose your marriage and your mental health and your physical health. And you get, and what are you going to snuggle up to a pile of money? And I see a lot of these people, and they celebrate this emotionally unhealthy workaholism. And I'm not looking to name names, because everybody's got their own path, and I'm not here to judge. But I'm not looking to have five championship rings and be known as the best athlete or the fastest runner, or run a bazillion miles through the desert and have no emotional health, no marriage, no relationship. Because what are we gaining for that? What is the purpose of that? Because I've never met someone at the end of their life. And my mom was a hospice nurse for a long time. And, any personal development people you've read, the end of life, and no one regrets making less money. No one regrets less fame. They regret the opportunities they didn't take. They regret the situations or the experiences that they missed. They regret not telling people that they love them and being there for the people, that we're all going to die, that people try to hide from mortality, like we're not going to die. So I think it's really important, especially if you're an entrepreneur or you're chasing big goals and you want to change the world, you want to make a difference, you have to keep in mind it's still just a game. Basketball, Monopoly, making money on it's a game. And winning at the game is beautiful and it's a wonderful thing to do, but you gotta put the game in its place in the context globally and holistically of your life, of what matters. And that's what I was saying about just because something works doesn't mean you should do it. If you do things and you can't look someone in the mirror that you're proud of, that you believe in, that you respect, regardless of what anyone else thinks, at the end of the day, you traded everything for nothing. That's my feeling.
That's kind of like a mic drop moment. And again, the people who are in the entrepreneurial space, and I hear a lot of people, mostly women actually, say, "Oh, I don't want that much." And I did a workshop recently and somebody was like, "Well, I don't want that much." And I said, "Well, if you don't have more than you have now," which was zero, "if you don't have more than you have now, how are you going to help those people you want to help?" Like,
Sure.
it's the context of the why, right?
Right.
Why am I doing this? You're doing it, from what I gather from our conversation, you're doing it to have more time with your wife, with your family, and to make an impact. You
Right.
said you love coaching people and guiding people and helping
Yes.
people grow in the network marketing space. Okay, great. And so balance is an elusive term. I think it's kind of overused, but you have to make time for the things that are a priority. And you can't say
Sure.
your family's a priority if you're never there.
That's it. It's the syntax. You got to have a syntax of priorities. You know, politically, people are always arguing left and right. Really, if you dig in, almost everyone has the same values, just in a different order. It's just the syntax. It's just the order of values, you know? So I do believe, though, it's very important that until you're financially free, you're never free. In a free country, because you're beholden to someone else's telling you what to do and when you can see your family. So I do believe financial literacy and building some sort of independent income, whether it be through investments or building a business, it's a network marketing space. I don't care how you do it, but being able to choose what you do and not have to do it, I think is one of the only ways to self-actualize, like Maslow says, or one of the ways that you can really pursue individuation, like Carl Jung says, that you need to put yourself in a position that what would I do if I didn't have to do something for money? And it came to a time at this point, my goal was financial freedom, and we attained that. And listen, if someone wants to give me $100,000, I'm happy to take it. I mean, I have uses for it, but I don't need more money. And that became a real existential thing for me, which is why am I doing this now? Because I have a limited time with my family for the most part. I could kind of manage things. And it went from financial freedom and making an impact to making an impact and additional finances. And now the reason I still do network marketing, and I've started to do some coaching because my passion is coaching. Network marketing is wonderful and I'm thankful for it. My passion's coaching. That's the thing that I love about that industry. So I've dovetailed into doing some independent coaching because it's using the same skill set. It's tangential, gives some variety, you know, so it's fun. Me and my brother-in-law, we just had our second annual punk rock run for mental health awareness. And you know, next year is going to be bigger, but he organized events. He's the COO of our training company. He puts together 5,000 person events in the network marketing space. So it's cool to take a skill that you're doing in one industry and do it kind of tangentially in a wholly different place because it's interesting, it's new, it changes. But that's at this point in my life, I was an 18-year-old kid smoking a half ounce of pot a week, going to parties, had a lot of aptitude, I had a lot of ability, but I didn't have a direction. And I know a lot of people that work hard their whole life and they never achieve financial independence, they never achieve the kind of income that we're creating. So I've never forgotten that. And I have a lot of differences, and I don't agree with everything for all the people that mentored me, because how could you? We're all different. But I've never forgotten how thankful that I am for what they've done in my life. So at this point, the reason I still do this, the reason I'm doing this podcast, financial gain is nice. But if I never made more money than I'm making now, we got more than enough. My family's taken care of. We got a beautiful life. It's really at this point, can I help a few more people create this kind of outcome? Can I help a few more people create this kind of financial independence in their life so they can pursue whatever it is that they're passionate about with their kids, their family, their spouse, their travel, their charity work, whatever it may be?
That is beautiful. I love it. So, if I wanted to work with you, if somebody in the audience was like, "Oh man, I want to get a hold of Anthony. I want to work with him. If he's a coach, I'm in." How do people get hold of you?
Yeah.
Do you have a website? Do you have like
Sure.
what do you do to get people in? Because I'm sure there will be people who are like, "Oh wait, I want in."
I would love to help. So, first off, I will give you my personal cell phone. One of the funniest things in the world is almost no one takes the first step. So, this isn't a Google number. This has been my cell phone number for, I don't know, 22 years. I did an interview with Mark Miller. He's like one of the first 10 or something employees at Chick-fil-A, became super, super successful. He's got a beautiful book, Secret of Teams, that I use as I start to teach people about our industry. But my cell phone, you want to just text me. I'll give you my website. You can find me on social. But my personal cell phone is 631-327-2241. You can throw it in the show notes. And there's a few paths. If I could be of service to you, text me. I'm not so busy I can't answer a memo or a text message. If you're looking for personal coaching, I'm gonna probably work with maybe five, maybe 10 people. The values have to align. It's not primarily for money for me. What I have found is you have to charge money, otherwise people don't listen. I think I'm probably the cheapest for my level because the money is secondary. But we'll do a half an hour free discovery call and see if it makes sense. I get to know you, get to know me, because not every coach is right for everybody. And not every position and direction is right for everybody. You have to have similar values. I got a very specific vibe, so you gotta like the person and feel comfortable. They also have to have the results in life that you want. It's important you find someone that's created the kind of life that you're looking for and shares your values. Because if they haven't created the success, they can't give you the blueprint to get there. But if they don't share the values, the way that they're gonna get there is not gonna resonate with you and you're not gonna be happy with it. If network marketing is your thing, you could text me and we could talk about that. I take people through a qualification process for that too, to make sure it's the right thing and really explain how we do things and stuff. But it'd be an honor and privilege to help. That's one of the reasons I'm here, And if there's one person that hears this and either it be advice or this inspires you or whatever, it'd be an hour very well spent. Plus, I got a new friend in Jen. That's super fun.
This is awesome. Thanks so much, Anthony. It's been great getting to
So
know
much
you
fun.
and hearing your story because pardon me. I love seeing, well, you're substantially younger than I am, but I love seeing younger people succeed and create the life that they really want. So this has been just an honor for me to witness your life and your
Oh,
success and what you bring to the world. That's awesome.
thank you. And same for you. I'm so great to see you living life and enjoying your life and doing the things you want to do and 33 years married with different desires and different things. And it's really special. It's always cool to get to know people and connect with like-minded people.
It is great. I'm Jennifer Takagi with Destined for Success, and I look forward to connecting with you soon.
Thank you for taking your time to spend with me on this latest podcast of Destined for Success. Please take a moment to leave a review, share it with a friend, and subscribe. And get the newest episodes every Monday morning. I'm Jennifer Takagi, and I look forward to connecting with you soon.